Namaste. There is a particular problem that we see in modern humanity with regard to approaching the divine. Part of this problem is a civilizational problem, and part of it is personal. The civilizational problem is because the whole development of humanity has been centered around the intellect in the last at least maybe a century or so, or a couple of centuries, from the so-called age of enlightenment, which taught us that reason is the ultimate. So what has happened is that mankind, a kind of mankind, broke free from what it regarded as people who are living in a mass of superstition. And this humanity, following the trail of reason, made stupendous advances, and lot of things came out as a result of that. It changed the very face of earth. So it went into man that reason is indeed the highest power, not realizing that everything has its own term, and after a term it becomes, you know, counter-revolutionary. So reason has created marvelous things, fantastic things in our outer life, and it has been a wonderful tool. So there is a tendency for man to think that it is through reason that I can ultimately arrive at the highest reality. The second problem which is connected to that is because the civilization started developing along the lines of reason, discarding religion, discarding everything, baby with the bathwater, that's all a mass of superstition, belief systems. So in the process it suppressed the heart's deeper instincts, it suppressed the heart's own understanding of reality, it suppressed the heart's deeper truths, deeper emotions, and thereby it suppressed the very divine reality which it carries within the heart. So because of this, a kind of civilizational imbalance took place, and this we see specifically in people who are intellectually, I won't use the word developed, but who have studied a lot or who have achieved intellectually something, what is normally regarded as intellectual achievement, accumulating degrees, or, you know, true intellect is something very different. So they develop a very natural sense of superiority, one of reason and analysis over everything else. And the second is that if they admit of a divine, they cannot imagine the divine as being. He has to be a force. Why? Because as beings, they believe that they are the ones who have inherited the globe, and they are the beings who are the most superior being. So when they turn to the divine, they think the divine to be like a force. They believe in some kind of force. But what kind of force? A force which, just as mechanically we master the other forces in this universe, we can master even that force, either by certain techniques, certain methods, certain processes. There is a force greater than our own. What they mean by this is that there is a force which is greater than what we have possessed so far. And we can possess it. There are ways and means by which we can possess this force. And so they go on and want to capture that force and use it for their purposes. So, and the third difficulty is with regard to the utilitarian mindset which has emerged out of that. All science has been often at the service of developing technology and tools for so-called good of mankind, giving more comfort, for healing purposes, for making life outwardly better. So again, with regard to divine, they want to know that how this divine force is going to help them outwardly. So inner things like peace, inner things like staying in the state of calm, true love, true abiding joy, all these have taken a back seat. When such a mind turns towards the divine, because at some point of time there is an evolutionary urge which compels it to go forward, it faces this big challenge. So it is approached by doubting. That's how reason advances. It advances by kind of skepticism, analysis, observation, and so on it advances. But it forgets that number one, reason, which bases itself on observation, observes only a very small field. Its field is limited by the senses. Now, yoga says, even psychology says, that there is a vast field which our senses cannot see. In fact, in everyday life, we know that there is a vast field which we don't know. Even our motives, our thoughts, our feelings, our hidden impulses, we are surprised by them at points of time. Why? Because we didn't observe them. In others, we just cannot know. So there is a vast subjective field which we are not aware and which no amount of sensory observation can tell us. We need another kind of senses. Second mistake with regard to being, because it thinks being means the physical body. But whatever is self-aware is being by its very definition, by its very nature. Let's see in a dream. In a dream we are not in this physical body. But yet we know it is me. Sometimes we even observe ourselves from outside. Who is this? Who is the observer? So we need to understand that being has to do with awareness. If one is not aware, one is watching the body, but one is not aware of anything, then that's not, there is no sense of being. The sense of being comes from the sense of a self-awareness of some kind that I am, yes, self-awareness may be connected to the body or to desires or to thoughts or any activity. And we use the word I. So a consciousness which is completely self-aware of itself is by nature a being. But the modern mind finds it very difficult to conceptualize a being, because when it looks upon earth, that's its only reference point. It says that of all the beings in creation, I am the highest. So how can there be a being beyond me? There can be force, there can be forces. It is ready to admit it because science accepts forces. Science doesn't admit beings. But when we take to spiritual life and yoga, we discover that there are ranges of beings which are beyond our understanding. They are like hubs through which forces pour out. And if we understand the being, if we hold the being, if we know the being, if we can get in relation with him or her, then we have the mastery over the forces and not vice versa. So this was the ancient science, that when we know that, that's what the whole idea behind worshipping gods and goddesses, behind avoiding the influence of the titans, the gaze of, you know, certain beings who, as it is said, that this gaze can do harm or calamity. It's basically a knowledge about these beings who are the hub of forces. So when we understand the beings, we have a much greater mastery over the very forces that we seek to master. So this is the second kind of thing which you need to understand. So, but the intellectual mind would say, but I don't experience it. That's true. But to experience it, you have to walk the path. If you don't walk the path, all that will remain is a belief system. So what it does, it either accepts things as a belief system and divides its life into a part where you use reason. Like everyday life, you use reason. There are people like that. But there is a part where you say it is beyond reason and it has to be just accepted as a belief. The theory of karma, that God exists, that you go to temple and ask this. So there are people like that who have divided their life into these two. They have a belief system. They may be very great intellectual, but they know that you can't run life without belief in some kind of a power beyond. And they go everywhere because, you know, they need it, a kind of utilitarian motive. And that becomes a kind of belief system for them. A kind of religion where there is an area which is irrational or infrarational or suprarational. That's not to be questioned. And there's another part which is you have to, you know, use reason and exercise reason. But this division cannot last for long. But this is one kind of humanity. The second kind of humanity is completely discards everything that it doesn't see, doesn't understand, doesn't conceptualize. It completely washes away the baby with the bathwater. But there is a third kind of humanity, which is what yoga is about, that you start with this premise that there are things which I don't see, there are things which I don't understand. It's a very simple and logical thing, that there is so much which I don't know, don't understand. But if there is a way that I can know and understand, that's how science proceeds, then I must go for it. And yoga is one of the means, just as science is one of the means, but confined within its own range of material phenomenon. We know that how science begins to fail miserably when it comes to subjective psychological phenomena. So when we start with this premise that there are many things which we don't know, which we are not aware of, which we cannot perceive, but yoga tells us that we can become aware of, we can become conscious of. How do we become conscious of? Like anything else, we gain experience, we gain the knowledge. This knowledge is intuitive knowledge, which is again and again justified by experience of everyday life. Let's give an example of how intuitive knowledge operates. We read something from the work of the mother that illnesses are attacks from outside, and if your subtle envelope is pierced through, you get ill. Now, ordinarily, this is not what science and reason teaches us, medical science. So what do we do with this? Okay, let's start with this faith that Mother and Sri Aurobindo have said this, they have the experience, and let me see. Now, every time I fall ill, I can make an observation from myself. that, well, what was my state before the illness set in? What are the thoughts that come to me when the illness is working within me? Then we'll see whether this illness is a purely physical one or it is also capturing my mind space in some way, filling me with all kinds of horror thoughts, negative thoughts. Very often people with virals have this kind of, you know, state. And then we can also see that if I am in a state inwardly, which is beautiful state, full of cheer, full of peace, then does it really actually prevent the illness? We can also make another observation that every time when I am ill, if I invoke a force, does it help? When I pray, does it help? Now, if we do this, then over a period of time, we will make our own observations and we will see that there is a corresponding truth to the realities that we have been told. Of course, if the vision develops, we can actually see the subtle physical envelope and see things happening inside us. So this is the way in yoga we proceed. And that's how we build a system. Then that system goes, we discover another system. Now what it means is that there is a rational scientific system around the material observation. It's perfect in its own right with all its limitations. Then you discover this subtler system where you discover there is a play of forces and how it can work upon it and etc., etc., as we just mentioned. Then even this system you can go beyond and you can actually discover the divine playing with this soul creation. So you've gone beyond all systems and discovered that divine reality which is behind everything. But these are steps in the process through which we have to advance. So this is how yoga translates or changes what we normally call as, you know, belief system because of our ignorance. It's not belief system. It's a faith in the master, faith in the guru, faith in the leading, faith in the guide. And then you proceed by what the guide has shown you because that's your aim and that's your goal that your being has chosen, because it's not, you know, happy or satisfied with whatever it has found within its limits and it wants to go further. So it starts with this faith that there is a truth that I need to know. It's a consistent with logic. There is something more which I need to know. And if I need to know, there's a possibility to find it. It also starts with this faith that if there is a master, a guru, a guide who has discovered things and is revealing it to us, then he knows. So I have faith in the guru and faith in the guide. And the third, of course, even though the divine appears intangible, if he is there, now that's where we can put it, if he is there, and if I hold on to him, well, there's no difficulty, no issues that cannot be really sorted out by that presence which far exceeds both in its knowledge, its power and love than anything else that I can imagine. So when we proceed with this way on the path of yoga, then we discover that this faith begins to change into knowledge. So this is where we have the difficulty of the intellectual mind and the way to solve it. But this is a kind of intellectual attitude which is too arrogant and it doubts for the sake of doubt. Why? Because it holds on to its old belief system. Actually, it doesn't realize. It is saying yoga is a, or rather spirituality is a belief system, but it is trapped in its own belief system that things are this way. It doesn't realize it. And it lives in that belief system and holds on to that cocoon, because the moment it steps out, there is a vast world out there and a new kind of effort. It has advanced along a certain line. You see, people who develop intellectually, they have spent 20, 30 years studying subjects. They have a name in their circles. They are, you know, presenting papers. They are, you know, well-known people. Now, suddenly they have to become like a newborn child. Who at 35 or 40 would want to learn anew? Somebody who has really the urge to progress. You become like a child. You start with this that I don't know. Let's say at 40 you want to learn music and you are a scientist. How will you start? You won't start with, look, I have 40 years of experience in science. The music teacher will say it counts for nothing. Come sit like a child and I'll teach you from Sa Re Ga Ma. So this is exactly how, or a person who is a linguist, somebody who knows, let's say, English language very well, but doesn't know Hindi or Tamil, and he has to learn this language. He has to become like a child. Now this arrogance of the intellectual mind that it's not willing to become that, it wants to hold on to this belief system in which it is trapped and doesn't want to make the effort because it's a huge effort. Something in it wants, but it's not ready to let go of the past, to let go of its own belief structures, is one of the biggest challenges. And that's why one has to bring in the idea of not only faith, but surrender. That, well, I have this, I'm a bundle of these habits, these beliefs, these ideas, views, opinions, which I've carried as my legacy. I lay them at your feet and teach me anew, make me a newborn child, accept me and teach me what I need to really know. Now this humility is what opens the door to progress. So just as arrogance shuts us down, the skeptic mind which keeps doubting for the sake of doubting just to remain trapped in its structure, whereas on the other hand, a humility that I want to be a newborn child, I really don't know. Teach me, Master. And then we will see that a whole new world opens to the sight and a new understanding illumines the grey rooms of a mind. Namaste.